Morning. Through my study of the theology of Jesus, what I've come to see is that in Jesus somehow emptying himself of what's divine, we see something of the essential nature of God. I think creation itself is an act of kenosis, or divine self-emptying, in that God would humble himself to let himself be known by us. Jesus, as this passage from Philippians shows, also empties himself and becomes obedient to death, even the humiliating and shameful death on a cross for the sake of the world. Jesus emptied himself of all rights and power and privilege, suffering, and though he was God, he became the servant of all. I did a paper on this passage from Philippians 2 this past summer, and the picture of the emptied Christ has stuck with me since then. As I've understood more of this essential, self-emptying nature of God, I've become increasingly more and more convinced that my life is often not a reflection of this reality. And so this sermon is a reflection of my own journey these past few months, which at times has been quite hard. Seeing yourself as you really are, trapped in sinful patterns and failing to truly love people around you, is somewhat disturbing. But maybe in being humiliated and humbled, I can learn something of what it means to live in humility. So it's been a time of death to my pride, which tries to pretend that I'm self-sufficient and not really in need of the grace of God. And it's been a time of death to the desires of this world, which I've begun to see are really at odds with the kingdom of God. And also by looking at the cross, it's been a time of joy, in which I've begun to see more of what God's love for me truly means, and also how I can truly love the world around me. And I've been increasingly challenged to move beyond apathy and to live a life of humility, and that in some small way reflects the life of the one we profess to worship and who we claim has changed our lives. And so I'll focus on three main points based on this passage in Philippians 2. First is God's love for us. Secondly is worshiping the humble Jesus, and then our response of humility to this. So sometimes in the midst of confusion and uncertainties in life, I'm tempted to wonder if God really cares about my situation. I sometimes think that God's not here in the midst of my pain and struggles and sadness. And yet when I look at Jesus emptied upon the cross, all doubt is removed from my mind that Jesus really is for us. How can we doubt the love of Jesus, who, although he was God, became nothing for our sake? And so in some ways, perhaps most of all at the intellectual level, I know that Christ is for me, that he loves me and cares about my daily struggles with life. And when I look at the cross, it's pretty hard to argue against this. And yet my heart is often hardened when it comes to knowing this love and the struggles. Does God really care? Does God really love me? I have a feeling that if we're honest with ourselves, at times we all ask these questions. And so, although I have a feeling that our entire lives are probably a struggle between faith and doubt, sometimes I or others in my life have seen my faith and the love of God increase. During these times, I think I have seen the difference between my agenda and the way that God actually runs the world. The very picture of the exalted God becoming the servant of all through death on a cross should probably tell us that God's idea of what humanity needs is a picture quite different from our own. In reality, the cross of Christ is a sign of contradiction to a world obsessed with human wisdom and power. And so it's not that God doesn't love me when things seem to be going contrary to what I think they should be. It's probably more likely that I'm praying for the wrong things. When painful things happen, it's not that God doesn't care, that I'm sad. It's maybe that without having some struggles in life, I wouldn't be changed or transformed into the person who begins to put the kingdom of God first of all. So in baptism, we are united with Christ in his death, and also united with Christ in his resurrection. Dying to ourselves and living out this baptism will involve some struggles. I read the Bible and I don't see God promising us health and wealth and a life free of struggle. What I do read is that God is with us in these hard times of life. I see Jesus coming to this earth as a man who is for us, and that he really understands the struggles that we go through. He knows what it's like to die a painful death, to struggle with obedience to his father, to be betrayed, to have a friend die, and also to be torn by the many people in his life that all wanted something from him that he couldn't give to everybody. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so we can come to Jesus each moment of our lives, finding rest and hope and strength for each day. Because we see Jesus emptied upon the cross, God's love for us will never be in doubt. And in this we can put our hope, because people and possessions will always disappoint us. But in this disappointment, we can come to Jesus, wearied and burdened with life, and we can find rest. So it's this humbled God who loves us and knows our struggles that we also worship. After his death, God the Father exalted Christ to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the mystery of Christ, the God who became man, who in his death shows us why he really came to this earth. It's the humiliated and humble servant Christ who shows us the extent of God's love. And it's this Christ, now exalted and seated at the right hand of the Father, that we now worship. When I think of worshiping God, I get this image into my head of the prodigal son, who disowned his father and wasted his inheritance away. Then the father, who's watching and waiting for his son's return, sees him while he's still a long way off. The father was filled with compassion, ran to meet him, and welcomed him home with open arms, and once again gave him an honored place. I'll read the story from Luke 15 to you, that's also in your bulletin. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." So I see a picture of a God who, despite our sin, watches and anxiously waits for us to return. God's arms are open wide, and he waits for us to come back to him, bringing our entire lives to him in worship. Jesus emptied upon the cross makes this possible. We will never be turned away. Worship is not only about the experience that you have on a Sunday morning, but it is about loving God and the world around us. It's about letting go of those things in our lives that we so desperately try to cling to for ourselves and surrendering them to Christ. And so we have this picture of Jesus who emptied himself and made himself nothing for us because of his love for us. It's the cross that shows us that God really is for us despite difficult circumstances in life that might lead us to believe otherwise. It is because of Jesus emptying himself on the cross that we're able to worship him. He waits for us with open arms. The Apostle Paul, in writing about the emptied Christ, does it not to expound or introduce some new theological concept, but he does it to give the Philippians an example of what their own conduct should be like in order that there might be unity in Philippi. I'll read the first part of chapter 2 of Philippians again. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so just as the cross of Christ is a sign of contradiction to a power-hungry and earthly wisdom-obsessed world, so to a life lived with humility can be a sign of contradiction. Humility is not false modesty, in which our outward actions of service don't reflect an inward reality of dependency and trust in God. There's freedom in surrendering our lives to God who loves us. Depending on God and not on our talents or money or possessions or family may seem crazy to the world around us, but in this, Christ becomes alive in us. A part of being truly humble is accepting ourselves with gentleness and compassion. In seeing ourselves truly, we realize that we have a broken and sinful nature and that we have need of God's unconditional love and forgiveness. And I think the test of this is whether or not we are surprised by our sin. If your sin is a shock to you, and you promise to God and to yourself and others that you'll never do it again, this is a sure sign of pride, because we think we are far more spiritual than we really are. Or on the contrary, if you depend on the grace and love of God, you know that you probably will sin again, unless by the grace of God. So true humility is never focused on ourselves, but on the world around us. It's honestly considering others better than yourselves and looking to the interests of others first. It involves doing nothing to appear strong or wise or powerful in the eyes of the world, because this is just really selfish ambition and vain conceit. But it involves true humility and doing all things to please God first of all. Humility involves death to yourself and to the things that you perhaps value most of all in this world, but are perhaps in direct opposition to the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to have the mind of Christ in verse 5. And the picture of Christ he presents to us is the emptied Christ, who did not consider equality with God something that he had to lay claim to. It's the picture of a Christ who made himself a servant of all and humbled himself to the point of an unjust death. And so we are to live in the same way, as a servant to all, humbled to the point of dying to ourselves and the things of this world. We're called to truly love people and to give ourselves away for Christ's sake. As I read this passage from Philippians and talk to you about humility, it makes me feel a little bit nervous. I think it's easy enough to talk about God's love, and easy enough to talk about how we can worship God, but talking about humility is a bit of a scary thing. And it makes me wonder, are we really supposed to take this seriously? And then I also wonder, is there any hope for us and for someone like me who so often doesn't live like this? But upon reflecting on this, I think there is good news, and there is hope. Because the same God who died for your sins on the cross loves you and really is for you. Jesus came to this earth to make himself known, and as we worship him, we are changed day by day. As we get to know the humble Jesus and let him get to know us, we become more like him in humility and love and in service. One of my professors at school says it's always good to end a sermon with a hard question. So the question I'm going to leave you with is, what kind of life are you going to live? In light of God's love, will you let your life be shaped by the crucified Jesus into one of humility and service that's emptied of all selfish desires and that conforms to the pattern of Christ as seen on the cross?